Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. Jay Rudd at Aurora LASIK and AuroraLASIK.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. You need to check it out as well. Go to AuroraLASIK.com. That's AuroraLASIK.com. Dr. Jay Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's AuroraLASIK.com for your refractive lens exchange.
This is the Ian Furness Show.
Backside pressure as Smith throws. Looking for the end zone, and it's intercepted. Juan Thornhill with his second interception of the year.
Text us at 49451 and hit the talkback mic on the iHeartRadio app.
On third down and goal, Mahomes stepping up. Looking, Mahomes chase, diving for the pylon. Patrick Mahomes, is it a touchdown? No signal, yes, touchdown Kansas City.
This is the new Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Oh, big heavy sigh. Highlights courtesy of Fox. I wasn't even listening. Were the Seahawks low lights? Is that what they were?
Yeah, it was a Geno interception, and then the Mahomes just Superman play when he dove to that pylon. Yeah.
Yeah, and a kind of a missed tackle. It's been the story of the season for that defense. Hey, Anders, how are you? Happy post-Christmas, my man. How are things?
It's great. They're great. Here we are. Here in the morning.
Yeah, is it? You've done this before,
though. Yeah, just a few times, but it's good to see your face.
Just great to be here. Awesome to be here. Couldn't be more thrilled. Couldn't be happier. Just, you know, awesome and on every level. This is the punishment I get for doing a two-hour show every other day. They wanted to have someone in this morning, so here I am. Anders, he also drew the short straw, but we're gonna do our very best. We actually got a good show today. Lots going on. We'll tell you about it in a second. Of course, as always, you can comment, questions, thoughts, concerns, whatever you want to throw out there. 49451. That is the Tullamore Dew text line. 49451. Happy 27th of December, 2022, folks. Did we have a show yesterday on live? Softy, right?
I think Softy was, yes.
Not sure why he had to do a show either, but yeah. Yesterday was a holiday, but we had Softy on yesterday, and we're all here.
Trading off, you know?
I threw the Fox 13 up on TV, and it looks like there's a lot of folks that are kind of dealing with some wind right now, some power outages. So if you're driving around, be careful out there. We just, it could be worse. You could be somewhere else in the country getting. We had our travel nightmare last week.
Armageddon, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get to go to Kansas City, neither did Greg Bell, who will join us later.
Right.
I was looking at the social media world today. I don't know if you saw it. My God, like Southwest Airlines might be. They might just go belly up today.
They're in big trouble.
They are in big trouble. Yeah. I thought Alaska had its issues, and it did. Alaska had some massive issues last week. Most you could probably understand when we had an ice storm, right? It's like there's only so much you can do. But when you pack an airport and pack a schedule and jam everything in there, you leave no room for error. And that was Alaska last week. Well, this week is Southwest. So if you're trying to get somewhere on Southwest Airlines driving to the airport right now, Godspeed to you because you're probably not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, let's just hope they can figure out a way to get these flights out.
I know. It's bad. It's really, really bad. Well, listen, here's our show. We got a lot going on. We're going to kind of do some things differently. If you're used to the morning show with Chuck and Buck, hey, welcome. Hi, I'm Ian. This is Anders over on the other side of the glass. We're usually with you from 1 to 3. On Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM. Chuck and Buck are off today. They'll be thrilled to know what we're doing in the 8 o'clock hour. I'll tell you about that in a second. Hugh Millen's going to join me in about 25 minutes time. We'll have Hugh on. And normally I've got Hugh on Mondays for hardcore football. I know he does a Monday morning quarterback as well. I'm sure he was on with Softy yesterday. If I'm being honest, if we're all being honest with ourselves, the 26th on a Monday after Christmas was a holiday for my wife, her company, she gets like zero holidays.
Right.
It's like she might as well work in radio or TV.
Right.
but she was even off yesterday.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand a lot of people. And I don't want to digest too much of Kansas City, to be honest with you. We need to move on from that. That was.
Yeah.
Did we all just chalk that up as a loss before the game?
We kind of took it as like, all right, if we get it, it's a bonus here. But yeah, we'll see what
you
happens.
Get it, it's a huge bonus. Right. Instead, you don't. I'm going to go bigger picture with Hugh a little bit. I was listening, you know, driving in early in the morning. I don't listen to a lot of the morning radio shows nationally, but, you know, because, you know, we come on at six, so there's, is it two cups of, two pros and
two
a cup
pros,
of Joe?
Two pros and a cup of Joe, yeah.
LeVar Arrington. I don't know. I don't think Brady Quinn was on today. Oh, was he on today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Listening to them a little bit driving in. I flipped over to ESPN Radio for a while listening, and they had a bunch of guys filling in. It was a nothing burger. God, what happened to that network?
Oh, seriously.
Lord, God almighty. I thought Same and Same, Mike and Mike were bad. but listening to two pros, a cup of Joe and some other, there's so much talk about Mike White and the Jets this week. God, I didn't know Mike White was a Hall of Famer, but apparently he is. It's be afraid, Seattle fans. Be afraid, Seahawks. But we will, with Hugh, I want to kind of get in a bigger picture, and I'll explain more in a second. We kind of delve into a couple topics over the last few days. But we'll do that with Hugh Mellon. He'll join us for a couple segments at 6:30 today. And then at 7 o'clock, Greg Bell, his normal hit, which will be fun. I don't get to talk to Greg on the air much at all, except for when we do the roundtable on Thursdays. And that's obviously a roundtable where it's the three of us, Hugh and Greg and I. Greg was in the same boat as me. We didn't make it to Kansas City. Didn't miss much. That's fine. I had FOMO, as they would say. It was weird not being there. The only games we've missed non-COVID year were that I've missed since 2012 were the two European trips. So Aaron went to London, and then we didn't go this year. We didn't cover the game in Munich for variety of reasons. But so I was weird being at home and then doing post game on a Zoom and all that stuff. But we'll check in with Hugh coming up at 6:30, then Greg at 7. And then I'm excited for this. Hopefully exposing a new audience to something we like to call Mollywop Mondays, this time on a Tuesday. And the Mollywop guys, who there is a love-hate relationship with them, Nathan Bishop, DolmanBedlam.com, and Chris Crawford, NBC Sports Edge, and kind of our minor league and prospect guru. Those two guys, we started doing stuff with them, talking Mariners baseball, about a year and a half, maybe almost 20 months ago. And it actually started with a negative thing. It was the Kevin Mather situation.
Right.
We wanted to get somebody on, a couple of guys on that were passionate about baseball, passionate about the Mariners, had some base of knowledge. And we did something with those guys, and it just blew up from there. We did it bi-weekly 2 years ago. Last year, we did it every week on Mondays. You will not find two more passionate people in regards to the Mariners. And not just passionate, but with a base of knowledge that I will challenge anyone to try to match that with, especially in terms of statistics and analytics and things. They have a basis for all their arguments. Now, not everybody likes them because sometimes they're not rah-rah. And I'll use a pocket term here because I just heard it on Two Pros Cup of Joe, so I guess it's okay to use. I always cringe when I hear pocket use it. I'm not sure if we can use it. But they're ball watch. They're not ball washers. If you want ball washing, you can go somewhere else or wherever, but they're not that. I mentioned this the other day, though, when I was on the air last. I had a couple cocktails with someone in the Mariners front office last week, and that person's, we were talking about the Mollywop guys, and that person said, yeah, I listen every time those guys are on. They drive me nuts sometimes, but I usually listen because they're knowledgeable and they're passionate, and they kind of speak for a lot of different fans. So we're going to have those guys on and talk about the Mariners offseason so far. They're both, I think, a little bit critical of the offseason so far. I understand why. A week ago today, we did our own little Mariners roundtable with Puck, me, Bucky, and Fane with Softy.
That was fun.
And it was, we had a good time.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, when you have opinion-based radio and opinion-based media formats, not everyone's going to agree on things. But I think that there's kind of two schools of thought right now with the Mariners in this offseason. One is same old, same old. And what I mean by that is a lack of ability to go out and attract, you know, an impact free agent. And let me emphasize the word impact free agent. Impact meaning that, you know, yeah, you may have to spend some money, but that person makes a true impact on the team. And impact free agent offensively. Because, last year they got Robbie Ray. We know they've gone after pitchers before. And they've signed within their own organization with Castillo and Julio. We get that.
And trades.
But they have not been able to attract, go out and sign, entice, whatever the word would be, an impact bat. And I think there's two glaring holes that I don't think it's disputable. There's two glaring holes in this lineup, and it's not a finished product yet. But to go out and to change that, you will now have to go out and make a trade because there aren't any impact bats left on the
market. And we kind of assumed that they were going to be making more signings here, and it's kind of winded down.
Well, I would say assumed or hoped, maybe, because based on past history, we're assuming that
strong term. Yeah,
yeah, that's probably taking a leap, Anders. You're a very positive guy.
Yeah.
But they, to go out and, I think we'd all agree, to go out and make another impact, they're going to have to go out and make a trade.
Yeah.
And that means you have to give up something to get something. Whereas the only thing you give up if you make a signing is cash money, homie. And listen, it ain't your money. So we'll talk to those guys coming up 8 o'clock. I think you'll enjoy it. If you haven't heard them before, I think you'll enjoy it. If you have heard them before, you know what you got. Two dudes that care, two dudes that give a blank. And we'll have some fun with those guys from 8 to about 8:45. And then we're off at 9 today. We've got a bowl game coming up at 9 o'clock. So busy show. 7:30, I should mention too, we'll do a little hockey talk. Bill LaForge is the general manager of the Seattle Thunderbirds, and they're playing in Climate Pledge Arena tonight. Second time they've done that. They did it last year against Seattle. They're playing Spokane tonight. We have a pair of tickets to give away for that. I might even do two pair. I'm not sure yet. For the game tonight, if you want to go to CPA, watch Seattle, and they're the top ranked junior team in North America. They're without a handful of their players who are playing World Juniors right now with Shane Wright from your Seattle Kraken.
Yep, scored in his first game.
Who scored on the very first goal for Canada last night. Canada's a heavy favorite to win the World Junior Championships. It's on NHL Network. We talked about it a little bit. We'll get Bill to kind of explain what the World Juniors are. Seattle's got four players. The Thunderbirds have four. So there's five guys that played last night in that game against Czech. Now, they got upset. Heavy favorite, upset. Wasn't quite 1980 Miracle on Ice.
Right.
Because it was preliminary round. Bad loss for Canada. I don't think I would blame any of the guys that played in the game locally. Olin Zellweger is from Everett Silvertips. He'd be the fifth guy. Dennis Williams, their head coach from Everett, he's also there. He is under some... They didn't have a good game. But Wright scored. Kevin Korchinski, Nolan Allen, Reed Schaefer. And then the backup goaltender last night was Thomas Milich, but he came in relief because the starter for Team Canada was awful. Milich came in and played great. He'll probably get the starts the rest of the way. And Shane Wright just mentioned scored the first goal. The only criticism of him is, and this is a criticism that I think is warranted, he's a center iceman. He takes faceoffs. He's not good. Like, he's not good at that.
Right.
I was trying to find the stats, and I could not find the stats to save my life. There's not like quite like the NHL where it's detailed, but
yeah.
But he didn't win a lot of faceoffs, if any. That's a minor criticism. You can work on that and change that. I thought he was named Canada's best player. There's a net best player for each team. I thought he was Canada's best player along with Connor Bedard. Wasn't his fault they lost. A lot of other guys didn't have good games. And the goalie for Czech, by the way, plays for the Tri-City Americans.
Oh, yeah.
He had a face mask on, his Tri-City Americans face mask.
That's cool.
So he's playing for the Czech Republic, or Czechia, they call it now.
Yeah.
And it says Americans on it.
That's awesome.
On his face mask. I thought it was fantastic.
Lots of local ties last night.
Lots of local ties. Yeah. But we'll talk to Bill about his game tonight, Climate Pledge. Give away a pair of tickets for that. What the World Juniors is, because I think the World Juniors will be here in the next few years. I think Todd Lywicki, he told us that when 3 weeks ago we had him on. Remember that, Anders? When I asked him about that, maybe we could find that sound at some point.
Yeah, I can look for it.
Yeah, before we have Bill on. That's later on. You got other stuff to do until then. All right. Before we get to Hugh, let me just kind of bounce around a little Seahawks talk. I was looking back. Turn the pages here. Notes from the Saturday game. And we'll talk to Hugh a little bit about this in a general sense. I said I want to kind of look bigger picture with him as much as looking back at Kansas City. They averaged, the Seahawks did, on third down. It's almost 8 yards on a third down attempt offensively. They're behind the sticks all day. It's been a problem lately. Puts way too much pressure on that defense. Yes, Ken Walker had 100 yards. Weird 100 yards because in the first half he did nothing. 9 carries for 16 yards. So he had 91 yards in the second half. But by then you're already down. They had 5 possessions in which they were down by 2 touchdowns and could have scored to make it a 1-score game, and they couldn't score. I know we've just absolutely hammered on the defense all year, and rightfully so. The offense was the problem in this game.
Yeah.
And maybe not even specifically the quarterback. And maybe it's not a huge surprise because you're missing Tyler Lockett, and I think we just saw once again what a big, big factor he is. I think he is Seattle's best all-around wide receiver. I know DK Metcalf is the beast, and he is what he is. Tyler Lockett gets first downs. He takes pressure off DK. He just makes big plays. He doesn't make nothing burger plays. He makes big plays, and he knows where the sticks are. They had three plays in which they specifically threw behind the sticks on third or fourth down. That never happens with Tyler Lockett. He runs the right routes. He knows where to go. I think they missed him. But I think more importantly, they're just their offensive line is an absolute... People will try to blame the right and the left tackle. And Lucas got hurt. We'll see what his status is. There was no major update yesterday, but they're still looking at him. Cross and Lucas, to me, aren't the problems. It's the middle of the line. Center gets blown up. They can't figure out who the right guard is. They almost split time. One guy played 57%. I think that was Jackson. Then 43% was Phil Haynes. I think that's the bigger issue right now for this team. But we'll talk about that with Hugh coming up in a minute. The good news is Seattle still is in the playoff race. The better news is they have a top three pick, probably be a top two pick when it's all said and done because of Denver, which we'll get to in a moment. But the playoff scenarios are rather simple for the Seahawks. I mean, it really comes down to this. Now, they're still in it, but they could be eliminated this weekend. If they lose, not necessarily will they be eliminated, but pretty damn close. A loss plus a Washington win, they're out. A loss plus a Detroit win and a Green Bay win, and they're out. I think it's just the safest way to look at it is if you lose to the Jets, you're done.
Yeah, you're in pretty bad shape.
You'll go into that final weekend, perhaps, depending on what happens. You could still go to that final weekend with a chance. Let's take a step back. You'll know by the time that your game is over if a loss has eliminated you. But even if it doesn't technically eliminate you, those other two things don't happen. Green Bay beats Minnesota. Detroit, I forget who Detroit plays. They might be Chicago.
Got to win the final two games, basically.
Yeah, you got to win the final two. I mean, and even if you do that, the Seahawks need Green Bay to lose a game. It's wild how this has taken a turn. About 3 weeks ago, it was a three-team race for two spots, Seattle, Washington, Green Bay. Well, now Detroit has kind of made its way in, but they're kind of out of it. Green Bay is really much there. Green Bay controls its own destiny. Green Bay wins out, they're in. And they have Minnesota. You are a huge, if you're a Seahawks fan, a huge, huge, huge Minnesota fan this weekend.
Go Vikes.
And then Minnesota, or then the Lions and the Packers play the last week of the year as well. So basically, you've got to win and you've got to beat the New York Jets. And there's an interesting dynamic there. We saw yesterday, if you missed it, Russ, I guess I should point this out because not everybody saw this. People might have been away. Nathaniel Hackett, the quarterback or the head coach in Denver, got fired. Russ got his coach fired. I say Russ got his coach fired. They hired a coach that Russ could run over and dictate what the world was. That wasn't happening in Seattle. They were done with Russ. They were done with Russ's nonsense. They were done with all things surrounding Russell Wilson. Entourage, personal coaches, dictating things. You know, you saw Brett Rippon the other day go after the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
That was on behalf of Russ. I mean, it's like your team, Russ, or you're not. Split down the middle. Seattle cut its ties. Whatever happens in the next 2 weeks on the field, Seattle's in such good shape because of who they have running this team. And I know, boy, there was criticism up the backside and down the other for Schneider and Carroll in the offseason, really the last 2 years. I think you probably, when you look at Denver's on the way for, I think it will be now 5 of the last 7 years, they're in double-digit losses.
Oh, man.
I mean, they're just a disaster, an absolute dumpster fire. And speaking of that, that's who they play this weekend, the New York Jets. Now, the Jets still have an outside chance for the postseason as well. They will have gone through, Stringfellow, whatever the hell his name is.
I don't even know. Yeah.
That dude, Mike White, Joe Flacco, Zach Wilson.
Four quarterbacks.
The old Lavelle Edwards, he was the first one to say this. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. So if you have four, you really don't have a quarterback. But they're going back to Mike White this weekend. Mike White this season has played and started in three games. They're 1-2. He's completed 62% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions this season. For his career, 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. A career quarterback rating, where is it at here, of 80.4. A QBR of 48.4 this year, which that was more of the ESPN stat, which Hugh likes. That's not good either.
No.
He can run a little bit. He can scramble around. He can make some plays. You just saw Pat Mahomes. Okay, this ain't Pat Mahomes. If he was that good, I don't care where you drafted Zach Wilson number 2 overall, he'd be playing. this is a game you got to go get. But they've got to fix some things and fix some things quickly. But even if they don't get to the postseason, I think even for a Seahawk fan, first and foremost, the playoffs are fun. They're just fun. And I know there's this feeling that, God, they're going to go somewhere that first week and get their doors blown off. Might end up being San Francisco.
Yeah.
But they're just going to get whacked. I think it would probably be more likely, right, that it would be the winner of the NFC South. But
yeah,
if you're the last seed, no matter where you go, you're going to be an underdog. Might be a team that's already beat you twice. Might be a team that's beat you once. But I'll actually, you know who it would be? It would
probably
be
the Vikings.
It would be the Vikings.
Yeah, yeah,
it'd be the Vikings. But you just want to get in. If nothing else, give Tariq Woolen, give the young guys on this team, your two rookie tackles, assuming that Lucas is okay and is able to play, give those guys a chance to go experience that and have fun.
Yeah.
Give those guys an opportunity. Try to get in. But even if they don't, even if the worst case scenario happens, the worst case scenario is you lose the next couple games and you're like, God, maybe we have some more holes than we thought. The best case scenario is you get the next two games and one or two things fall your way, you get in the postseason, you get a game in, you're a playoff team.
Yeah.
And you still have a top three or four draft pick and your own draft pick and then a high second round pick and your own second round pick. And let John Schneider work his magic and let him do some things. And you're going to add a whole bunch of players to what is already a playoff roster.
That's honestly the most exciting part about this outlook is the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all those things come into play.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was, I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And you'd much rather be in that position than where Denver is right now. We have a quarterback we're paying a ton of money to. Even if we cut him, it's dead money. It just makes no sense. We have no first-round draft pick, no second-round draft pick. Our own. I think they do have a second-round pick. I think they got a first-round pick.
Yeah, I don't know their draft.
For Chubb, I think they got. But there's not a top-five pick like they have.
No coach.
No coach. A guy, and knowing that you, since you signed the quarterback, you're going to have to hire a coach that he's good with because he runs the show still.
Yep.
Yeah, Seattle's in a good situation right now, no matter what happens next couple weeks. All right, but there's a lot to discuss with them, so let's do that. 49451, tell them where to do text line. We'll have a chance at the very end of the show to check text. You can always do a talkback as well on the talkback app. Go to the iHeartRadio app, little red microphone on 93.3 KJRFM. Fire away and let us know what is on your mind as well. Hugh Millen, our quarterback, he'll join us coming up next on 93.3 KJRFM.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the Huskies and the Kraken. Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
All right, here we go. It's a Tuesday, and I'm in the morning, and it's not a Monday in hardcore football, and maybe this won't even be truly a hardcore football, but every Monday after a Seahawk game, I check in with my good friend Hugh Milne. I've done this for, like, I don't know, how long have I been here? I've been here like 16 years. I've been doing this for like 14 or 15, right, Hugh? Hardcore football on Mondays at 1 o'clock. Obviously, most of us were off yesterday. I think Softy did a short show yesterday afternoon that maybe you might have been popped on. But I wanted to get Hugh on today with a number of different topics to kind of hit on as we look ahead. Seahawks and Jets this weekend, final two games, playoff push, bigger picture looking ahead, all those things. But first of all, season's greetings to you, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you popping on this early hour, too.
It's all good.
I know.
We ain't shoveling asphalt.
No, we are not doing that.
No reason for griping.
No, indeed. Before I get Seahawks-wise, I'd love to – I mean, the big news in the NFL yesterday was the expected happened. I think we knew Nathaniel Hackett was going to get fired in Denver after, well, as it turns out, less than one season as the head coach there. But Russell Wilson's tenure in Denver has been just an absolute train wreck and a disaster. And while many people in Seattle, we can revel in that and chuckle and laugh and, more importantly, look ahead and say, hey, you know what? You wanted them. This is the year you wanted them to do poorly anyway because you have their first and second round draft picks. And so you get top, three or four, whatever it ends up being when it's all said and done, maybe a top two pick in the first round, same in the second round. More importantly, bigger picture. When you look back on this, Hugh, can we truly say, watching how Russell's performed this year, maybe in some ways a handpicked head coach for him that he could, maybe have a little more say than he would in Seattle, that the Seahawks did very much the right thing and saw this coming, whether it's declining skill set or just dealing with a diva quarterback in a sense. But boy, Seattle just did the right thing when they sent him packing.
Well, I think it was a combination of things. I think that they saw in nutshell a declining player in terms of a guy that really is dependent on his off script skills and playmaking ability, which was dependent on his elusiveness at the onset of that off script, meaning, okay, we're going to call a play. Nobody drafts up a play and says, okay, we want you to end up scrambling around, scattering, and end up outside the numbers, throwing a ball off a scramble drill. There's a structure to the play, and Russell oftentimes would bypass short completions, or he couldn't see the short completions, and then he would escape the pocket, and he had a great sense, a brilliant sense of just how to play off script. We all saw it for years. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But his ability to do that was dependent on, as I said, the onset of the off script portion is, okay, you're in the pocket, you want to leave. Now you've got to get outside of the pocket and usually have to evade somebody or just use your quickness. And he had that elusiveness to get away. And so that was declining. And I think that they felt like he was a guy that was becoming less and less coachable. There's a lot of things that he either couldn't do or refused to do, and a lot of real simple stuff. And I mean, I broke down, I threw on the all 22 tape of his game against the Rams from Sunday, and a lot of the same stuff, and so they felt like it wasn't just his skill set, but just kind of his mentality. Is it $50 million? There's not a lot you can do, right, in terms of how you coach him. And then you had the further facet of the contract that was coming up, and they've always drafted off of Aaron Rodgers, he and his agent Mark Rodgers, and they just felt like, okay, Aaron Rodgers just popped for $50 million. We don't want to pay that kind of bill. And so all of those factors combined to find him, extinguishable. And then you see what's played out. So, yeah, I think that they're kind of quietly chuckling and taking some glee from everything that's happening in Denver.
And rightfully so. And they ended up, I mean, it's a bonus where Seattle is right now compared to, where they were, 10 months ago when they were a non-playoff team and they had Russell Wilson and he had, a contract that was going to be up after this coming season. And what are you going to do there? And all those things. And, they didn't have the first round draft pick because of Jamal Adams. And my, how things have changed in 12 months. Fast forward to Seattle right now. I don't want to do too much in the Kansas City game, but I think the Kansas City game does give us a little bit of a blueprint of some of the issues lately. And Hugh, I would ask bigger picture, and you take it where you want to go with this. This is a team that's been averaging third down opportunities. Their third downs have been somewhere in the 7 to 9 yard range over the last few weeks. So behind the sticks all too often, puts a lot of pressure on Geno Smith. Yes, they ran. They had a 100-yard rusher in the last game against Kansas City, but 91 came in the second half, and they had 5 possessions when they had a chance to get it to within a 1-score game against that Chiefs offense, and the offense was unable to do that. They have a Pro Bowl quarterback and not a Pro Bowler that's an alternate. They have, you know, a guy that has had a top three season in the NFC, at least by many people's counts, but maybe hasn't been the same guy the last few weeks. If I ask you to say Seattle offense, what has gone wrong? What has declined in the last few weeks? Where would you start at?
Well, I think the inability to run the football has really been tough. You've had the injury there to Kenneth Walker and also DJ Dallas. I mean, they've been at times down to their fifth tailback. I think that hurts. I think that inside of that offensive line, I mean, Austin Blythe was a guy that we kind of uniquely and rarely singled out when he was the center for the Rams and kind of breaking some things down and some of the opportunities the Seahawks had defensively. You know, all the while that analysis had no idea that he'd soon be a Seahawk. But I remember now and kind of softly reminded me that I'd said, hey, this guy is the worst player on the Ram team. And so now I hate to use that term. It's not very seasonal, right? But I think that if you take the 11 starters on Seattle's offense, I think the guy that probably impacts the team adversely the most, unfortunately, I think is again him. And so you're never far from the center when you're running the football. There's always a guy, if your center's getting beat and blown back up, I mean, unless it's like just a toss sweep or something, if your center gets beat, it can really impact your running game. And even if it's not that guy who's making the tackle, let me emphasize that point. If the nose tackle blows up the center and just rocks him back and there's no movement, that changes the angles for the running back.
Yep.
And every single bit helps. I mean, you want to be going downhill on an analog clock. As a general rule, you want to be going as close to 12 o'clock as you can, and you don't want to be going to 9 or 3 o'clock. Now, there's plays that are meant to be run off tackle and what have you, but at some point you want to be going up the field, and if your center's getting blown back, you don't have cutbacks on those type of plays. So it's a rare play where a center's poor performance doesn't materially affect the play. And the guys flanking them on either side aren't great shakes either. So I think the middle of the offensive line has been a problem. And then I think Geno has slipped off. I mean, so Geno now is Kansas City and you want to throw it away. I mean, that's fine. What was his passer rating? I just had it.
74.5.
Well, he had 94 yards passing in when they were down by 17 or more, right? And so from that point on, which was absolute garbage time, he goes 8 for 12 for 94 yards. Well, if you take away those yards, now you're talking about 121 yard day, and his passer rating would have been 55.8.
Yep.
If you take away that drive. Now, if you're gonna do that to Geno, you have to do that to other quarterbacks. I get it. Other quarterbacks get garbage drives, but I think that there's been more of those lately. I mean, as you mentioned, QBR is something that I think that ESPN has endeavored to create a formula that gives a more accurate picture. It what it does is it tells you, for example, passer rating is just four things: completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown percentage, and interception percentage. It's a relatively to use a term in computers, it's a dumb statistics.
Right.
There's nothing dynamic about it. Whereas QBR says, okay, was your 14 yard completion, was that on third and 12 or was that on third and 18?
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was, I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
And you had to punt anyways. Well, there's in QBR, they say, wait, no, 14 yards on third and 12 is worth a lot more. If you have a scramble on for 6 yards on third and five, like that's a big play in QBR. and you know, plays in the fourth quarter when the game is on the line and third down and what have you. At any rate, so in the first now the in passer rating, it's from 0 to 100 in the first. How many games have we played now? 15 in the 15, first yeah. nine games. Geno's passer rate or QBR was an average of a 67. And what, where does 67 put you? That's fifth in the league.
Yeah.
In the last six games, he's at 54.6. Where does that put you? 18th in the league.
Yep.
So, so he's gone from a, you know, now he still ends up, you know, deservedly at the Pro Bowl, but I think we talked about this with Kitten in 99 when he was, you know, Seattle started 10-2 and he was the player of the month in October and everything looked great. His first year with Mike Holmgren. Wow. You take Kitten and pair him. And then, but you look and Seattle just kind of had a nosedive at the end and had a bad playoff loss against the Dolphins. And then it became clear, oh boy, we really thought he was the guy. And then he wasn't, right? And so I'm not saying that that's happening with Geno Smith, but in part because I think Geno Smith is just a more talented guy. He's bigger, you know, stronger arm, moves better, and what have you. But all of those factors, you know, could be said for a lot of quarterbacks that don't play well. And I think it's worth noting when you're making really substantive decisions about your quarterback and how much money you're going to pay him and whether or not you're going to draft somebody if you have a top three pick. I mean, these are really important discussions. So if you don't think that they're, you know, really parsing out and getting granular about this demise, I don't want to call it a demise, but there's clearly slippage. Been a drop off of, yeah. of his, yeah, there's a slippage of yeah. his play. And so that's real. And that's corresponded to Seattle's woes in the win-loss column as well.
That's why I love having you on, because you just took me to a place. I want to talk more about that when we come back a little bit, because, you know, how much is it Geno's play? How much is this the players surrounding him? How much is it falling behind in games and having to come from behind? You mentioned the center position. I think the right guard comes in there as well. When you're splitting series with the right guard, that hurts the center, who's already substandard. That hurts the right tackle, who's a rookie, or even the backup who had to come in the other day. As any offensive lineman will tell you, right, there's a chemistry. There's a working together, and not everyone's the same. And all of those things, I wonder where that all comes into play. But when we're in a world right now where how many teams are looking for a quarterback, does Seattle have their guy? We'll ask you that as well. When we come back, 93.3 KJRFM.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the Huskies and the Kraken. Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
We're back. Hugh Millen with us. Greg Bell will be with me. His normal segment coming up at 7 o'clock today. Molly Wop Monday on a Tuesday with the boys at 8, talking all things Mariners so far in this offseason. All here are filling in for Chuck and Buck in the morning. We've got a bowl game coming up for you at 9 a.m. today. So just with you, I think this is the only local show on today.
Yeah,
stay consistent. Us right here before we get to the college bowl season. Hugh Millen back with us. Hugh, I was telling Anders when I was driving in today, listening to some of the national shows kind of bouncing around between Fox Sports Radio, ESPN Radio, and others, and you know, all this talk, New York's talking. I mean, what are we going to do with Zach Wilson? Is Mike White the guy? Do we go find another quarterback? For all the Mike White is great talk, if you look at his numbers, and, you know, he's just probably just a guy. They're looking for a quarterback. They're not sure what they're doing. In a number of cities, hell, Miami might have a massive problem on its hands, and I don't say this lightly, with the concussion issues of Tua. With all that being said, two games left to go in the season for the Seahawks. They have a Pro Bowl quarterback. Which, you know, it's a moniker that is what it is, but they have a Pro Bowl quarterback on their roster. But as you just kind of articulated, there has been some decline in what he's done the last few weeks, probably because he's been asked to do a little bit more without a running game. The offensive line woes, especially in the interior, come to play. Does Seattle have its quarterback for next year on its roster right now?
Yeah, I think Geno's going to start that first game, but I think that they'll probably look and say, hey, when's the next time we're going to be drafting this high? And I think every team probably many times it's wishful thinking. You say, well, you know, we're not going to be up here for another decade or more. Mm-hmm. But with Seattle and the success they've had, the fact is they have. It has been rare. And so if there was a quarterback that they really loved in the top three or four, or wherever they end up getting that pick, then you've got to go for it. But, you know, I think this is an interesting juxtaposition Seattle has when you talk about this, because they just played Pat Mahomes and they are playing the Jets, who should be quarterbacked by Zach Wilson. And if you go back to how people thought about Zach Wilson coming out, the comparisons you heard were about Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
They're both the exact same height at the combines, 6'2 and 1/8. Mahomes had a few pounds on him, but the arm talent that has wowed everybody with Mahomes, he said, well, this is Zach Wilson. He can do the same stuff. Go watch his pro day. He had this incredible throw where he's running to his left and a guy was running a crossing route left to right. So he's not only is he throwing across his body, but the receiver's going to the opposite side of the field and he hits this guy on the dead run and it was like 50 yards or more. And it was just an incredible throw while he was wearing basketball shorts. Yeah. And while everybody was just nuts about this throw, I said, you know, I remember asking, well, how many times are you going to throw that in a career, let alone a year, you know, that throw. I mean, that might be a once in a career throw if you actually do that throw in a game. And that would be, you know, first of all, there'd have to be, you know, no safety in the middle of the field, which almost never happens in the NFL. I mean, that's probably under 5%. And then get that opportunity. Anyway, my point in saying that is that while you think you can say, all right, well, this is a once in a generation quarterback. Well, he was the second pick in the draft, Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. And now he can't, you know, there's been a number of games. I don't know how many it's been, but there's been a number of games where he's been a healthy scratch. He's standing there and wearing Levi's.
Including this week coming up. Yeah.
On the sideline. Yep. And so that just blows me away. For you and I have been doing this draft for a long time, you know, my 24th year. I know you, prior to KJR, you've been covering the draft as just as long as me. And the idea that how Pat Mahomes would thought of coming out of Texas Tech was, well, he was the 10th pick in the draft. Zach Wilson was the second. People thought with Zach Wilson, you're getting Pat Mahomes. So even though there was a certainty there, look at what's happening. That was on the heels of Sam Darnold being the third pick in the draft, which was on the heels of Mark Sanchez being the fifth pick in the draft. That's just one franchise.
And let's go to that's just one.
See how he's playing this week.
Yeah, and I mean you can go the other guys get picked high that have. I mean the Josh Rosens of the world, other guys that have just flamed out in that upper half of the first round. That's why. Yeah, the quarterback situation scares the daylights out of me with the draft because there are. Hell, I hear the name, you know, the Richardson kid out of Florida. I mean, I've watched enough of them this year. That guy's not coming in and starting for you next year.
Right.
If he does, you're not a playoff team. You're not planning on going to the postseason. Right. So, I mean, I just think it goes back. I'm with you. I think Geno's the guy. I'd like to see, you know, the Geno that had a passer rating of, you know, 100 plus. Over a stretch of, 6 straight games. I'd like to see that Geno Smith the last 2 weeks as opposed to 85.9, 90.9, and 74.5 the last 3. And as you mentioned with the 74.5, if you take out some of those garbage time numbers at the end, and they were garbage time numbers. I'm with you. I said something about that the other day, and I had a couple of guys who were on TV that took offense to it, not on TV, but viewers. I'm like, no, they had 4 or 5 opportunities to make that a one-score game, and they couldn't do it. The offense couldn't do it against Kansas City. You know, you're holding Pat Mahomes, and I know it's not a – They held him fairly in check in that third quarter, and the defense did, and your offense couldn't get going. So I want to see that Geno Smith because I think there are so many other places to address defensive line, offensive line, etc. that you mentioned in the draft. But that's what makes the next 2 weeks interesting. You know, not just for the playoff drive, but also, you know, what do you see from Geno Smith? You know, in the next 2 weeks when they need him, they need him the next 2 weeks.
They need him, and he didn't have Tyler Lockett, but. I would like to know how many quarterbacks in the league go the entire season and don't have a starter out for a game.
Oh,
you know, I think that's asking a lot to just say
a guy that just clinched a playoff spot last night, Justin Herbert, played without Allen and Williams for a whole bunch of the year, right?
Yeah, much of the year and much of last year and what have you. So you got to be able to play. And so I mean, you're sitting there at 121 yards, but and it's happened. It happened with Tampa Bay. It happened with San Francisco. I mean, he's had. You know, a fair number of his, and that was with 17 points. If you filter for 9 points, which is obviously a 2-score game, then there's a lot more drives that come in from the season. So some of those numbers are kind of augmented by that.
You're the best. I appreciate this. You and I will speak with Greg on Thursday with the roundtable. Look forward to that, 8 o'clock on Thursday morning. Until then, have a great next couple of days, my friend.
Thanks so much, Ian. Enjoy.
That is Hugh Millen, our best guy, man. We love having Hugh on. Speaking of Greg Bell, we'll take a break, come back, and check in with our Seahawk insider from the Tacoma News Tribune, Greg Bell, coming up next.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything, reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.